See how God just does things?
Isn't He good? We just let Him be good. Just believe it and to receive it. You believe God loves you?
Yes, amen.
I don't care what you're going through. You can't believe what you're going through. You got to believe.
Uh-oh, he's taking his shoes off.
I'm taking my shoes off. Look, I wear nice socks, too.
So I'm
going to pull this through. You guys, and listen, anybody wants to go up and get a clock while I'm talking, that's okay. I won't be offended. All right? But I do got to get going here. I do got to get going. I'm going to get going. I got all kinds of messy notes here, and that's all right, right? Look at this. All right? That's what I do. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're just going to get into it because God's already blessed it with the Word. That tonight we receive that. I'm going to deal with a couple things. Here's what I want to do. Here's what I really want to do with all my heart is I want to initiate some things. I want us to. I believe that God is doing something right here, right now, and I believe that God is stirring something. And I just want to be part of all that God's doing. I want to grab hold of all that God's sharing with us and declaring to us. And God told me to give everything to Him that He is. That's the word I want to say. Everything that He is. And the problem is the church has fell short that way, where they've only given Christ as Savior. And He is all that, but He's so much more. Amen? And the problem is the church has become immature. They have become lax. They've become rebellious and they've shortcoming. Because why? Because they have not come into the full measure of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when we don't do justice by not giving everything and all that He is, we come short just saying, I got a ticket to heaven, instead of realizing, wait a minute, God, Jesus died. What did He die for? What is He giving me? What are the inheritances that I'm supposed to walk in? And sometimes, listen to me, it takes time to begin to walk that out and to begin to walk in the fullness of it, because we get caught up in just that part of just being a Christian. Just being a Christian. And you know what I mean? Just, and that's a great thing. But I want you to know that God, there's so much more than that. Jesus, in Genesis, it says that Moses was told them to eat the whole lamb. Not part of the lamb. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. And they were to eat the whole thing. And they went from one end all the way through. And at first you think that sounds weird, but it's the thing spiritually understanding that we eat the full measure of Christ. And only when we do that do we come into the awareness and understanding of who we are. We walk in power. We walk in strength. God does not, He did not just save us so that we could just go to heaven. That's great. But I want you to know that's why sometimes there's, the Bible says that when you take communion, let me just get this off my chest. When we take communion, you know how the Scripture says, it says that's why there are some sick among you. When you take it unworthily. And the problem with that, it's always been preached. You know how it's been preached. It's been preached that, oh my goodness, you're afraid to receive communion. I remember standing in the back of church. I'm Christian. I'm saved. But yet I had such fear because I thought, man, if I take this communion and I don't have it all together. The Bible says the man who has sin doesn't have sin, cast the first stone. But yet sometimes preachers casting stones at people in their congregation. Okay? Because we think that, oh, well, I don't measure up yet. What caused you? The only thing that causes you to measure up is Jesus. And the only way that we understand it is coming by partaking of the body. And what Jesus was declaring, that Scripture was declaring, if you take it unworthily, if you take it, and when we begin to not understand that we are worthy, what makes me worthy is Jesus. By partaking of Christ, all that He is, everything is His blood, the sacrifice, all that He is, His body, the full body, every measure part of who He is. Unless we do partake of that, we don't come into the understanding, in the fullness, in maturity, and walk in power. See, that's what God wants us to walk. He wants us to demonstrate. The disciples walk in such power. They demonstrated with power. The Bible says the kingdom of God, we talk about it. I know church after church that talk about it. They preach the kingdom. Listen, I want you to know that I just don't want to preach the kingdom. I want to demonstrate the kingdom of God. I want to demonstrate. You hear that? I want to demonstrate the kingdom of God. The realities of God where there is no sickness. Come on. There is no sin. There is no poverty. There is no weakness. That it is broken in His name. And you got people of faith believing, grab hold of it, and begin to walk it out. I want you to know that this is a reality that we can walk in when we begin to walk in the truth of what Christ did for us and who we are as disciples, as sons of God. But I want you to know that it's a battle. This is why sometimes it's suffering. Sometimes it's a battle. Why? Because things always pull us. Try to get our attention. Make us think we're not worthy. How many of you guys, even this week, things that make you think you're not worthy? Things that happen to you that are negative, what's the first thing you think?
God doesn't want me.
Bam. And you know what? Honestly, I thought that way too. You know what? Shame on me because that's immature. Because I got to know without a shadow of a doubt, man. It's that love. And the Bible says the Word of God, and we need to declare it. When we feel that way, we need to declare, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Neither height, nor depths, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things seen, nor things unseen, no matter what I'm going through, can separate me from that love. Things happen. But I want you to know, we are living victory. And I'm talking about an inward victory that we are empowered, to walk in. That God has caused us to be empowered to walk in. All right, we're going to talk about that tonight. All right?
Amen.
Okay. Let me get my glasses. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Too many pockets?
Too many pockets.
Okay.
Too many pockets now?
I have too many pockets at work. I can't ever buy nothing.
You can't buy
nothing.
I got bigger. Right. Okay, so here's what I want to do. I want to share with you tonight about being a disciple. And about understanding that what disciples do. We're going to be talking about this in the next 3 weeks. What disciples do. What qualifies you to be a disciple. Okay? And how to walk in the power of that. How to demonstrate it. So we're just going to begin with that. All right? Let's go ahead and look. Everybody, if you got a Bible or you can just come along. You just write these scriptures down. And trust me that I'll read you the right scripture. And you believe me? Listen, I want to just share a testimony of how that every one of us sometimes, I know a lot of us, we've talked about this, that we struggle sometimes even memorizing scriptures or just being able to retain them or grab hold of them. And I know that God corrected me because I would complain about it and feel like I didn't have it, and then God spoke to me that I need to ask fervently. I need to seek Him about it. And I have the Spirit of God, and I need to recognize that I have the Spirit, His Spirit within me, and the Spirit of God is there to teach me of all that Christ is. And I mean this with all my heart. Listen, in the past 3 weeks, God has downloaded spiritually into my spirit scriptures that I've studied and studied, but something just clicked inside me. Just clicked inside me. So I ask you that, listen, seek God's face, that God will just pour out and just release into you. And sometimes I have my dumb moments where I'm like, oh, I can't remember. But I won't stop. Even on the way home tonight, there's this crowd. I said, God. And I just waited. I drove for an hour and 10 minutes. And 10 minutes from home, that scripture came to my mind, and I knew where it was. I knew what it was. And it just came to me, and it was by the Spirit of God. So we just got to strengthen that. It's like muscle. You just strengthen it. All right? So that's just a testimony. Okay. So the one thing we always hear all the time, this is a verb that we always use. And I want to share a couple of the words that we use, sometimes we use, and really what does that word mean? And it means the call of God. And you've all heard that. We've heard the call of God. The call of God. And it's used a lot, and sometimes we use it loosely without the understanding that, wait a minute, you're called, there's something we're called to. And we're not just called, brother, we're called to know who He is. Yeah, but we're called for something. Remember that if God saved you, okay, from something, which every one of us, God saved us from something, it was sin. It was, whether it was sickness, whether it was drug addictions, whether it was whatever those things were that might have been in our lives, He saved us from those things. But He just didn't save you from things. He saved you for something. To take you into something. Not just save you out of something, but to take you into something. That's what God does. He just doesn't save us. But look at the disciples. He saved the disciples, released who he was to them, and guess what? He worked through them. He went through them. And that's where the power is. When we realize that God loves me, that here I am, who am I? And we can believe that God wants to use me. God wants to use me. Who I am right now, not someday. Well, yes, when I get educated. Listen, I want you to know that the enemy has completely beat me down for years because I'm uneducated by the world's standards. He's beat me down. You're not qualified. You're not worthy to do this. You can't do this. You don't know this. You don't do that. And I know I have friends that have all the education. I want you to know that, listen, those are lies. And we got to understand that I'm qualified because he has called me. Amen? All right. The word called of God, various Greek words denote someone who is called, summoned. Word means summoned. Invited to a vocation or a destination. I like that. So a vocation or destination. There's a sense in which God has invited every man to receive Jesus Christ and become a son of God. However, there is a high calling unto the stature, a full-grown son, and all the benefits and responsibility of that vocation. Okay? So I'm going to look at Ephesians 4, 1. Actually, I'll be honest with you. I started reading Ephesians 3, or 4, 1, and I kept going back and back and back, and I got to stop somewhere, because every one of those scriptures were just, oh my goodness. Okay. So listen, it says, and therefore, Ephesians 4, 1, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That you walk worthy. That is a declaration for us to walk worthy of what we are called to be. Now, let's jump back a couple scriptures here. Okay, Ephesians 3. I'm going to read backwards. He says, unto him be glory unto the churches throughout all ages. Now unto him that is able. He is able and abundantly above all we ask and think according to the power that worketh in us. Now listen, we are called and we have power when we understand it worketh within us. God's power is always wanting to work within us. It's like, I want you to think about this like a river. That rushing river with power. That's moving. That river's with power. I have opportunity. This is what we do sometimes. We bump into God's power. We experience God's power, every one of us, somehow, some way. But I want you to know, listen, we're not supposed to just bump into it. We're not just supposed to experience it just once in a while. But it's just like that river that's constantly flowing. We step out of that river or we get back in that river. We get out of that river and we experience it. We sit back and we flow down that river and let it take control. And then, but all of a sudden, we look at the rapids and we look ahead of us. We're not sure what's going on. We jump out of that. And that is what we do with the power of God, what God has for our lives. Instead of initiating, walking in and saying, listen, I'm gonna stay in this place, be led by the Spirit, and flow with what God has. And that takes us to places where sometimes we get nervous. Sometimes we're unsure. Because what happens? We begin to think we're not qualified. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can say this. There's been times sometimes, listen to me, that as I'm standing there, man, I got to get up and say something. I got to say something. And God reminds me, listen, it's in you. This power is in you. Just release it. Just be led by it. And I want you to know that we don't miss it. When we trust in God, we say, listen, sometimes we think, well, I got to get a feeling. I got to feel that God's with me. Come on. Like, I got to feel God. I got to feel God to pray for somebody. I got to feel this or that. No, we're not. He's in you. That's why the Bible always talks about laying hands on people. Laying hands. Why? Because it's not just for that person. It's for you. Because it's for you to recognize what is in you. That God wants you to release what's in you. And he is in you. So I want you to know, there's something about this sometimes we think it makes us feel uncomfortable. We think, me? Listen, that is not of God. That is not of God. We got to know that we're empowered. And I want you to know what happens when you begin to do it by faith and walk in it. Then all of a sudden, you begin to become more confident. You become more confident, and you begin to release more. You begin to keep releasing, time after time, as you get in that river and flow, being led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And I know you desire to do that. All right, let me just look up here real quick, guys, just for a second. You all right? Because
Yep.
I, this is not planned right here. So I feel like I need to say this. And this is in first, let me just read Ephesians 3, because it's so good. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me towards you. Let me read the Amplified Version. Is that better for everybody? Assuming that you have heard the stewardship of God's grace that was entrusted to me. He's talking about what God has done to him. And he says, for your benefit, and that by divine revelation the mystery was made known to me, as I have already written in brief. By referring to this, when you read it, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. The mystery. We hear that word a lot too. And the mystery is what? Is the mystery where that it is something that we seek and we come to the fullness of what we have in Him. The mystery of all that He's done. Do you remember on the road to Emmaus? Remember the disciples are walking? Here's Jesus. He has just died on the cross, rose from the grave. His disciples are the church. This is the church. These are the Christians walking and their heads are down. They're downcast. And here's Jesus stepping up to them. I want you to know this is what we're experiencing right now, where God's stepping up to us as we're walking in our journey. He walks up to them. And I believe it wasn't just disciples that were unnamed. I believe that they were probably John and Peter. And, you know, it really doesn't declare who they are. And he walks up beside them. And he begins to talk with them. And he says, what's wrong with you? Why are you downcast? Why are you sad? I said, I believe that God is asking the church right now, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with us? Why are we not embracing? Do you understand? And they look, they said, why do you don't think we're sad? Our Savior died. And he's looking at him and he says, and they begin to tell the whole story, what they thought they knew of him, of his death, his burial, his resurrection. And Jesus looks at him and he asked them, what things did he do? I want you to know that God challenges us that we didn't know what things he did. Because I want you to know it's not, that is the power of understanding what things he did for me. What did he do for me? What did he do on that cross that now, right now, has empowered me to walk in? That I am the commissioned to walk in all that he is and all that I am in him. That I'm going to walk in the fullness of it, and to walk in that joy. We've been so mad at God and upset with God because things don't happen. He's saying, just walk in what I've given you. Just walk in that reality. Make it part of your life. Make it the very fiber of your being. That you know who you are. That you're empowered to me. You are my child. You are my child. And so they begin to talk, and Jesus began to explain to them from Genesis to Revelations. He began to explain to them a long journey, 9 miles, walking with them. And he began to tell how that he was in the beginning. That he was the Lamb from the foundation. And they began to hear this and understand, wait, this Jesus just, if we weren't plan B, that he come to fix us because we messed everything up. No, he was the answer to the problem before there was a problem. Wow. This is the one that desires to be with me. The answer to the problems before the problem. That wants a relationship with me. Man. So they walk with him and he began to share with them that he was the rock that followed them. He was the pillar by fire. He began to explain all through the Bible who he was to them. All through Revelations, began to declare it. And all of a sudden it says that when they got to the end of the journey, what happened? Their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened and they were filled. And the mystery of God, that's the mystery, the understanding. That listen, I want you to know that God revealed who He is to those that seek Him. Seek Him. Not just know about Him, but know. They not know of Him, but know Him. Know Him. Know Him in relationship. Amen? So He says, let me just keep going there. He says, by referring to this, when you read it, you will understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not disclosed to mankind. It wasn't. He says, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit, it is this, that the Gentiles are now joint heirs. Say us.
Us.
We're joint heirs. He says, and the members of the same body, joint partakers in the same promise in Christ. We have the same promise. All that Christ has, we have. All the fullness that he walked in. Just begin to read what he did, how he walked in, how he experienced it. We say, wow, those are my promises. He is my Father. He is my Father. He is my Father. He is my Father. Listen, we keep looking about our natural DNA and about how we are born in the flesh. But no longer I live, but Christ that liveth in me. I want you to realize that your DNA has been changed. We've been transformed. That we are born in the Spirit. And I have a Heavenly Father that I can grab hold of. And all that He has, I can download and take hold of. Everything. Amen?
Amen.
He says this. He says, of the gospel, where am I at? And he says, of this gospel was made a minister by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power to me. The very last of the least of the saints. He was making it clear to show, listen, I'm the least. Listen, I was a murderer. I murdered. I killed the church. I broke the church down. I hurt people. He says, but God graciously has given to me to proclaim the good news of the incomparable riches of Christ, the spiritual wealth which no one can fully understand. And to make plain to everyone the plan of the mystery regarding the uniting believing of the Gentiles and the Jews in one body, which until now, was kept hidden through the ages. God who created all things, so now through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places, this in accordance with the eternal purpose He carried out in Christ, in whom we have boldness, confidence, access through faith in Him. Or faith gives us sufficient courage to freely, openly approach God. So I ask you not to lose your heart at the sufferings on your behalf, for they are your glory and honor for this season. I bow my knees before the Lord. From now every family in heaven and earth derives its names. Listen, I said all that for us to understand that He was declaring, it is given to the church. It is given to us to carry this out. To declare the mysteries of who He is, of what He's done for me. And I want you to know, listen, a couple weeks ago I talked on meditation. You remember that? And listen to me, and this is what I mean by this, for us to grab hold of these scriptures. Sometimes you just read them. I've read scripture. I want you to know that I've been in Ephesians, and I've read it. I bet you I've read it 40-some times in the past week. And that thing is just downloading into me, just reading it and just seeing it and understanding, wow, look what You've done for me, God. And the scriptures I've looked at, Mimsy, I know them. I've read them. I've memorized them. But they were not enlightened to me until that moment where it just woke me up. It just quickened me. Just come alive. That's what the Word of God does. If you just let that Word of God, this is what happens with us as disciples, sons of God. We have to let the Word of God awaken us, quicken us. Quickness. And only then you come to the realization of what He's done. It's not just a head knowledge, but it's a heart knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. Paul said that you would be enlightened by the knowledge of God. That you would be enlightened. That your everything. That you would just be enlightened. And it would just turn on like a light switch. My goodness. In every area in our lives. There's areas that honestly that we don't have victory over our lives. But we did it because through Christ that He has all things He's overcome. All things. And I want to walk in the fullness of it so I overcome all those things. With everything in our lives, different things in our lives, day by day by day. Whether they're fears, whether they're phobias, whether they're discouragements, whether I lose my joy. That I want to declare that word. Take hold of it. Meditate it. Chew it. Digest it. Amen? Alright. So, let me just give you these last scriptures and you can just take them with you. Romans 11:29. Ephesians 1:18.
Romans
11:29, Philippians 3:14, and Hebrews 3:1.
Did you say
Philippians 3:14. Listen, I really would love you guys just to take these. Did you get them?
Hebrews.
Hebrews 3:1. Just read these scriptures. Read them. Read them. Just read them and just get these in you because I want. Listen.
Wait, what was the reference in Ephesians?
2018. And just pray. I mean this. Just pray that this doesn't be a head knowledge, that it gets in your spirit. and just declare it and understand who you are and understand that we're joint heirs with Christ, that everything that he has, I am. I'm tired of not receiving everything that he died for. Everything that he died for that I can receive and walk in that power. Amen? All right. The first one I declared was in Ephesians 4. It says that we walk in a vocation. Amen?
Yes.
Not vacation. Vocation. I know my vocation is a bricklayer. All right? And we can think what we think that way. This is what I am. This is what I do. I work at this place. I work at this place. So he's saying that we have a vocation. There's a calling. That every one of us, and we got to understand, here's what we fumble with and we frustrate ourselves with. Well, what does God want me to do? I want you to know this is the heart of the Father, is that you know him. Period. That you just know him. And all these other things will work out. The disciples followed Jesus first. They weren't saying, okay, what am I called to be? You know what I mean? What am I going to do? I want you to know they walked in the Spirit and it was revealed to them as they reached for the Father, as they reached for him, there was something downloaded to them that they began to get the heart. And I'll give you this example. Is when I first got saved, I just went in it with everything because I had nothing to lose because I was such a drug addict. I lost everything and all my friends were gone. I had nobody in my life anymore. I just ran after God. I remember just waiting on God and just reading his word and just reading day after day. And every night I came home from work and just praying. And just like I'm talking to you, God began to speak to my heart about youth, about young people. And I began to get this passion. I began to get downloaded into me God's business, God's purpose, his will for me, for young people. I didn't just try to make this happen. It was downloaded into me. And anybody know the youth leader when I was? I mean, it was just, I didn't try to have to do it. I just did it with passion. I loved young people. I didn't have to, I was doing this stuff. I'd take my vacations and we'd go to youth camp. And it wasn't work. I was in love with it because I was experiencing the will of the Father. I was walking the will of the Father. That he spoke to my heart to share, to love young people. I had this thing to get young people before the enemy would go out there, before you try to get them, before you taint them. He said, I want you to give them all the love, everything I am. And I didn't realize what he really was saying at that moment. I want you to give the fullness of I am. Not just part of me, not just getting saved, but everything I am. I want them to know that I have power. They don't have to be addicted. They don't have to be overcome. And, you know, but I have to learn that. I learned that. I understand that. Listen, God just doesn't want us to get saved, but he wants us to walk in power. So that thing was downloaded in me. And that's what God wants to do to us. God wants to put in our hearts. When we get the heart of the Father, God will put in your heart a passion for something that you can't try to muster up on your own. And you'll say to yourself, well, really? I was way too young to be a youth leader. Way too young. But I want you to know, I wasn't too young in God's eyes. Because my heart was right. So whatever we think we aren't qualified to do, I was young enough and dumb enough and in love enough with God not to realize I wasn't qualified. But he qualified me. So there's nothing that God cannot equip us to do when we're empowered by him. Nothing. God says, you go lay hands on the sick? God, you told me to do that. I don't heal anybody. He does. All right? Okay. You know what? I believe this too. I believe that I took those scriptures that God gave about healing, and I read them. Every one of them. Read every single one of them. Every day. Every day. I just, God, this is what you said. I read this. And I'm going to declare it, God. I'm telling you, listen. I believe this all in my heart. We're going to see the miraculous take place in this church. I am so desperate for it. I'm so desperate to see it. I'm so desperate. And I had a prophetic word somebody gave me about Billy Graham. About how that, you know, these men that passed on. He's the last one of that generation. Of the A.A. Allens and all these ones that have passed on. These ones that did the miraculous. These ones that did, you know, amazing things. And the prophetic word was this. This was right after I preached about God, do it again, and talk about that.
doing the miraculous and faith. And the word was this, was that these men were spies. They were spies, like Joshua and Caleb were when they went into the promised land. They were walking in the fruit of what God wants us as a whole body to walk in. They had a taste of it. And they seen it. And there's some people that have seen it and said, well, that's not for me. Well, I don't know if the church can do that. I don't know that. But it's reality. You're telling me that God has favored just this one person? Not the heart. Is God wants to move through a body. Through a body. Listen, that is my heart so much. And I know that this is true. When that word came, it quickened me. Because that's my heart. It ain't for me to lay hands on the sick for them just to get saved. No, it's for you to lay hands on them. It's for you to reach out and touch those ones. To see them get out of the wheelchair. That's my heart. It's for the body. Man, that is what's powerful. It's not just a man where they say, oh, Pastor Chris is laying on the sick this week. No, the churches, that before they even come to the altar, that at the door, someone's laying hands on them and they're recovering from a sickness. At the door. Or even before they worship and praise them, we're worshiping that God heals them in the midst of that atmosphere. That's my heart. That's my heart. It happened. Now I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry for that. And this is what God's declared. But I want you to know that we have made it of no effect. We've walked in church. We've pushed it back. Generation after generation, well, it's not for us. That was for them. Listen, I want you to know people that say that are faithless people that will not walk in the fullness of what God says. They will not walk in the fullness of it. Why? Because there's no response for me. That was for then, not now. That was for then, not now. What? No, that is for all generations. I've given you power to all generations and generations come that you will be empowered by my Spirit. For what? See, we just got to stop and think of, for what am I empowered for? To drive my car? To preach? No, more than that. To walk as sons. Amen. Austin, don't kill that deer. Come on. You guys okay? You guys not?
You okay?
All right. Sorry. All right. Listen, to walk in the vocation that God has called us to walk in. So that is the call of God. And we are all called. We receive Christ. But here's the difference. I want you to know that we receive Christ, our Savior, that we're called. But I want you to know there's a high calling. That we're called to come to Him. But then there's a higher calling when we begin to walk in His will. Okay? And his heart. See, David was the only one out of all those ones that had his heart. He had the heart of the Father. He was willing to step up and believe that, God, you can download into me whatever I need to defeat any enemy. That's the faith God's looking for. Man, if you could just reach beyond yourself, beyond your failures, beyond what you don't have and what he has. Man, that's what we desire. Amen. So listen. So this is what I want to share with you just for a minute. And look, it's over. Listen. We are to demonstrate the kingdom of God. To demonstrate it. That's what we're called to do, to demonstrate. That's what the disciples did. And to demonstrate means that we have power to do that. We have authority to do that. If he tells us that we're to demonstrate it, to preach the gospel, to go forth out. Not just to preach the gospel. We think, I'm not a preacher, so that's not. No. To preach the good news, to declare it, and to demonstrate it with miracles and signs and wonders. That's what we're called to do. That's what he's commissioned us to do this. The things that I have done, greater will you do. Greater will I do. Greater will you do. All right? So, do you remember Elijah? And then remember the miracles that he did? When he said, when he was caught up, Elijah, he says, and Elijah asks, he says, that I want double. I feel like Elijah, that I'm asking God, Lord, I want a double portion of God. I want to demonstrate all you are. I want to demonstrate who you are, God, in the earth. I want to demonstrate. So God, when Elijah was caught up, his mantle fell. And Elijah picked it up. I want you to know that Jesus ascended into the heavenlies and his Spirit came. His Spirit, his anointing, his mantle is in the earth. And it is the Holy Spirit. And that is that double anointing that we receive, that we walk in. Wow. And you know, I want you to know that Elisha's first thing he did is walk across the Jordan. Everybody was watching. And when he crossed over, he split that Jordan and walked across it. Every one of those things took notice. Took notice. Look, the hand of God's upon that. And you know what? I want you to know that, listen, and it's a humble thing where I'm saying that we know who we are, that we're just here to give glory to God. I'm just here to demonstrate who He is. I'm just here to declare who He is. I'm here to walk in the fullness of what He said, just what He said. All right? So, Acts 1:6. Let's read that. Are you okay? Acts 1:6. And he says, I'm sorry, I can't read this there. I can read this. Okay. And being assembled together, he commanded them that they should not depart Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. For truly he is baptized you, but you shall be baptized with the what? The Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou restore again the kingdom of God? He's asking of God, are you going to restore the kingdom? Listen to this. Are you going to restore it? When will you restore the kingdom of God? When will you do it? When will we go to heaven? When will heaven come down? How will we do this? And this is what he said. He says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and seasons for which the Father has put in his heart is his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, that you will be a witness. You. He says, well, God, well, when are you going to? No, no. He says, I'm going to empower you to demonstrate who I am. I'm going to empower you to do this thing. See, we just got to grab that. We got to believe it and know that he says, listen, you are going to demonstrate in the earth. You are. And we can't look and say, well, I do this while I'm busy with my work. I want you to know the one thing that gets us, you know what is the biggest thing? Our spirit's on fire, excited for God. Our soul is being saved. It's learning. It's trying. But you know what our biggest failure is? Our bodies. We can be excited. You ever been to worship? You're like excited. And then all of a sudden your body is weak. It will try to bring you down. It will try to wear you out. I want you to know that, listen, we are not going to call to walk by our flesh and let that take hold of us, but to walk in the Spirit. To be empowered by the Spirit. To be quickened by the Spirit. That we begin to walk in that. Our bodies have been ruling and reigning and trying to control us. I am tired of it. I'm tired of watching. I'm tired of our bodies. I'm tired of us being this. I'm tired of us being in this place. But I want to walk in the fullness. The only thing that's stopping us sometimes is our bodies. And we look at ourselves and we think, well, Mims, I know you bother yourself sometimes. Well, I'm just maybe too older or this or that. Listen, your spirit is eternal. And it's empowered to do things you didn't think you could do. But God wants to show you. God wants to use you. Just like wherever you're at. When you're at Walmart, when you're in that place. Listen, you're not on a time clock. You are never off the time clock with God. God wants to use you for that life that is in you. That love that flows from you. At every one of our places. Where I am with my workplace. Man, I don't have time to get into that. But listen, I want you to see that. I'm almost done. I just want you to get this. He said, but you will receive power. But you receive. I want you to know that's the heart of God, is that you will receive power. You will. Matthew 10. They're done, so I just wanted to give you. I believe, honestly, those scriptures I gave you are more important than anything I've said tonight, just for you to read them and grab hold of them. And Matthew 10, 1 through 14. And it says, and when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them the power. What did he give them? Power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manners of sickness. All manners, not some, all manners of sickness. And all manners of diseases. I want you to know that when they first went out, not everything that they thought would happen happened. But some of them fell away. Some of them didn't walk on, but I want you to know the ones that believe it, the one that kept walking it, the one that kept pursuing it, were the same ones that when they walked down the streets, that the shadows, that the shadow they cast healed people. Listen, that's faith. That's believing. That's knowing that who you are, that you're a child of God. Amen? And it says, and then it goes, names all the disciples, and it says, the 12 Jesus sent forth, and he commanded them, saying, go not in any way of the Gentiles, but rather to the lost sheep of Israel. He said, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is what? Is what? The kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. Where's your hands? Where's the kingdom at? It's at hand. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For us to move in sonship, to move in to the high calling of God, it has to be through the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. Whether or not, I don't know personally about where you are with the Holy Spirit, whether or not you receive the Holy Spirit, you might have been saved, but have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? And that's power. To be downloaded, it's a promise of God that I will give you, not because of anything you've done, I will give you. And it is our comforter, it is our teacher, it is the voice that encourages us, it is that voice that pushes us on and that we respond to. And like I said, we are constantly supposed to be in the Spirit, move in the Spirit, that we're not in and out, chuck, blah, 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 but no, to move in it. And that's what we do sometimes. We don't take hold of all the power that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. Sometimes we treat the Holy Spirit like that goofy uncle that we got and put him in a basement. That's what churches do. Seriously, you know what I mean? Because why? Because I want you to know the Holy Spirit does, man. When you're sitting in and God moving and you're in His presence and you start crying and blah, 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 you know. I mean, my wife come home and she wasn't, listen, this is the place where you're really not in the Spirit in a sense, whether you just come home from work or something, you know. Well, here's me, I'm waiting on the Lord and man, God just put something in me. I'm so excited. My wife comes home and she's like, I said, you get that? And I just, we got to see sometimes that you might feel like it seems like it's overpowering you. You don't know where it come from. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And so he says, it's at hand. The kingdom of God. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness. He's given us righteousness. The kingdom of God is righteousness. And it goes along right with this. You can write this underneath. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Ready? Righteousness, peace, and joy. He's the way. He's the truth. And He's the life. Okay? He's the way for us to be right with God. The righteousness of God. We have righteousness, the kingdom of God. We have the kingdom of God is within us. We have to take hold of being righteous. We can never have, I want you to get this, we can have bits and pieces of joy and peace. But the thing that comes first is what? Righteousness. And it's nothing that I do. It is agreeing that He has made me right. That I am right with my Father. And His desire is to give me peace. And that I be full of joy. So He's the way, the truth. The truth. When I get the truth, when I believe, oh my goodness, I believe Him. I'm right with Him. That He loves me. That I'm blessed and highly favored. No, seriously, it's not just head knowledge. It's in my heart, and I agree with it. And it's just like when I'm not being knocked off my feet every time I turn around, but I'm finally getting hold of this thing, and it's gripped me. It's got a hold of me. It's taken hold of me. Then all of a sudden, you know what you get? You get peace. Because why? You got the truth. And that'll give you peace in all situations, in storm situations, in bad situations. That no matter what you're going through, all of a sudden, that peace of the Holy Spirit that's in you will cause you to walk in. And the last one, He is alive. He is our joy. See, when we have the righteousness, we realize we're right with God. When we believe the truth, then all of a sudden what will happen is joy will rise. Like you've never had before. I mean a joy like you've never had. That, you know what, I want you to know that we're meant to walk in joy. Not part-time, no, all the time. I want to walk in joy. I want to walk in joy. Either this is a lie or it's truth. And I'm choosing at 50 years old to say, you know what? It's truth. It's the truth. And I want to walk in all the fullness that he has for me. Listen, Jesus had a compassion for those that were lost and hurting. And he told all those that were with him, he looked at him, he says, listen, the harvest is many. He said, but the reapers are few. Not everybody has my heart. I want you to know that God wants us to have his heart because, listen to me, there's lost out there. There's people that are hurting. And God wants us as sons to stand up and be all that he's intended us to be and all the authority he's given us. And I know, listen, I know that we're not raising the dead. You don't just walk out and raise the dead. God builds our faith. Because I want you to know in those moments, sometimes people, you know, they walk in a power and without maturity. And then guess what? They do wrong things. We've seen it, haven't we? But I want you to know we've been through a lot as a church, as a people. And I want you to know that God's pulling us out from the unseen. And God's going to demonstrate who he is, I'm telling you. You believe that? I believe it. I believe it that we're going to walk in it. You get some people gathered together just believing what he can do. Amen? All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to take this, read this while this is your homework. And I meant to give you copies, but none of our copiers are working, so we're going to pray that we get a copier. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to get one. I want you to read Matthew, okay, 5. It's the Beatitudes. Okay? And the thing with the Beatitudes, it doesn't just stop right there, but it goes all the way. It goes all the way through 6, 7. And it stops at, 6 and 7. And he's talking to his disciples, and it stops right there where, I think it stops at 29. Yeah, right before 8. And that whole time he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his disciples. And he's sharing with them his heart. So when you read, this is what I want you to do. When you read that, I want you to read it from the cross. And every time you read the Bible, and some of you already know this, I've talked about it, is you read the Bible through the cross. Even from Genesis all the way to Revelation. You read it through the cross. And what do I mean by that? Is that he has brought it all through the cross. So when I read that Bible like that, I see it through the cross. I see that God has redeemed me. God has given me victory. He's finished the work that I need to walk in his reality. Okay? So you bring it through the cross. You bring it through the cross. And with that understanding in my mind, in my thinking. Amen. Any questions? Any questions? Okay, so next week we talk about the Beatitudes, and then the following week we're going to talk about how am I qualified and walking in it. So, you know, some of this stuff is more simple than what we thought. I mean, and just embrace, man. This week, I mean, it just. Just stop and say, you know what, I'm just going to receive what God has for me. I'm just going to receive how much he loves me. I'm just going to start believing it. I'm going to believe it, man. I'm telling you, it's dangerous. It is dangerous. Yes.
You know, Pastor, we sometimes, we look at ourselves in our own fleshly ways.
Mm.
But the Bible says if we have faith as a child, we can do many things. And I've learned a great deal in that area. It's like last night I couldn't sleep, and that poem that I sent you.
Yeah.
It was I don't know. I just had to send it.
Yeah.
I actually sent it to several people.
It was perfect.
You know, and it was like the Spirit of God telling me, look, I want you to enlighten people and inspire them.
Yeah.
Give them strength when the time that they feel like they're weakest at times.
Yeah.
You know, even though we follow God and all that, there's still a point of us that we are weak in that area. And we need one another to constantly sharpen each other in that area to keep us strong.
Yeah. You know, and I believe that there's this, for us to walk in that truth of that, it's not just something that we get it from the understanding, the building of faith, building the Word of God, waiting on Him. The Bible tells us, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew your strength. You will not cling to eagles. So you know what? This is learn to wait on God. This is learn to just get in God's presence and just put some CD on. Just take your time, get alone, and just worship and just you will be strengthened. Listen, last night, this is God, man. Last night, I worked hard yesterday, man. I was beat up. I was physically was drained. I didn't want to read anything. I did not physically, and I just began to worship. And just pray in the Spirit. And about 45 minutes into it, man, I tell you what, I knew life. I walked out. I stayed up longer. I hung out with my daughter. I was more life for her instead of going being a zombie just sitting there. But God empowered me. He gave me more that I give back more. It happens time and time again. So just wait on God. Just seek His face and just expect. You know what? This is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about what the disciples do. What happened when they demonstrated it and what they did. It wasn't just miracles, one sign and wonder, but they did. They were part of the church and what they did in the church. It was powerful. Powerful. They set an atmosphere. So I want you guys, when you come to church, you know, sometimes you hear me saying amen. It is important for us because what you do is you're declaring, you're pulling that and saying, yeah, that's mine. That's mine. I'm like, amen. Amen. You pull from it. And I want you to know that. Do you ever see sometimes where I might go somewhere, I might go to another place and like, wow, I had somebody say that to me. Wow. Boy, I wish you'd preach like that at our church. I'm like, I would. If everybody amen me and pulled me like they did. Because there's something, you're pulling on the gift that's in me. Just like when I encourage you, you know, when I sit there and I'll say something to you and I'll pump you, I'll get you excited. Why? Because I'm pulling on that gift that's in you. And when we just sit there and amen, not only is it good, we're agreeing with heavenlies, we're saying, yes, I agree with that. Is also, you're pulling from me, and you're encouraging me, you're strengthening me. I don't have to have that, but I want you to know it does something. It creates the atmosphere for things to happen. It really does. You know what I mean? It's just agreeing. It's agreeing. The Bible says to agree. Say amen. Yes, 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 and amen. Yes, and amen. So we agree with that. And we create that atmosphere as disciples, as children of God. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. Amen. You know, I mean, I've had it where sometimes people were becoming obnoxious, but, you know, just for attention. You know what I mean? Yeah. But no, when you're receiving that word in your heart, say, amen. Amen. Let your worship, just worship God. Just get free and worship. Okay. Just get free. Let God touch your hearts. Let God do something. You know what I mean? Just take that time and just let God speak to you. Go out. Bless other people. When people come there, be willing to step out and say hi to them. Amen. How'd you feel when you first came in?
Good.
How'd you receive?
Open arms.
Yeah.
So I was,
how'd that feel?
Good.
Did you need that?
Yes.
Yeah. I want you to know, there's a lot of people, just like Sam, that need it. They need love. Demonstrate. I want you to know that until we demonstrate it that way, we'll never see the signs and wonders. But we got to demonstrate with love. Bless you all. I pray you be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. You all.
Amen.
Amen.
So read those scriptures. Let them get into you. Chew on them. Meditate. Remember like the cow. Remember the cow? Remember the cow? We choose this cow. Get those scriptures in you. Find the scripture. Get it in you. Chew it.